And now your speaker, Chris Whitaker.
Truly God is good. He's not good some of the time, but certainly God is good all the time. All the time, God is certainly good. We're truly thankful that God has blessed each and every one of our lives once again to come to this assembly. And oh, how marvelous it is to look out and to see so many faces, familiar faces, individuals that we have been acquainted with over the years by being here in this area. And we appreciate so very much the confidence that has been placed upon us by your minister and by the congregation here at the Smyrna Church of Christ. It's always good to have preachers in the audience. As I told you this morning, when folks say amen, that's about like saying, sick 'em to a bulldog. And if you ever think you had any bulldogs in the audience, just get a bunch of preachers together. Amen. I tell you what, they'll make you preach when you don't have no preach in you. But it's certainly good to see each of you from the sister congregations. I'm not going to name them as well because I don't want to get in trouble. But I just want to say we're grateful for all of you who've come to be a part of our services on this evening. And I trust, hope, and pray that as we study from God's holy and divine word this evening, that something might be said that will cause some precious soul to respond to the invitation. We were blessed this morning with four precious souls that have come and asked for prayer and for forgiveness of sins, and we're just thankful for that. And I'm quite sure that in an audience of this size, there might be someone that have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. And if that be the case, that's why we're here, so that we might encourage you to make that step. So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's do a Bible check. Raise them up high. I know somebody said, I didn't bring mine. Well, that's all right. You bring tomorrow. Amen. A man without his Bible is like a carpenter without his tools. You need to remember that. And that's what we're going to be using throughout this meeting, as gospel preachers, as Bible class teachers, that's what we have to use. The Bible lets us know that the devil is busy. And we have to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to combat him. The Bible tells us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. I'm going to get right into the lesson for this evening, and Lord willing, we pray that something will be said that will cause one or more this evening to walk down these aisles, to give Brother Jeffries your hand and give God your heart, and decide tonight is going to be the night that I get my life right with the Lord. From the book of Luke chapter 5. I invite your attention. Chapter 5, beginning about verse number 17. Amen. It's good to hear those Bibles turning. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went on upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, or thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I want us to use as a subject for just a few moments, Jesus, the great physician. Jesus, the great physician. And in this, I want us to focus upon the fact that even though he's the great physician, the doctor who never lost a case, we need to understand that he still needs workers. He still needs those of us to go out into the fields and to encourage those that are sick so that he might be able to heal them. Yes, Jesus' use of miracles served many purposes in his day. We find one purpose that the miracles served, Brother King, was to establish his identity. By them, the Bible lets us know that he proved that he was the Son of the living God, and that he showed that he was from God. Another use that our Lord made with the use of miracles was the fact that they were to uphold his authority. According to Luke chapter 13, verses 15 through 17, Jesus demonstrated the authority to forgive sins, as we've read to you from Luke chapter 5 and round about verse number 20. Still another use of miracles was the fact that he used them to confirm his mission. His mission this evening is the mission that he had even when he was on the scene. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, For the Son of Man is come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Yet another way Jesus used miracles was by healing all manner of diseases and sicknesses. And that brings us to our text even tonight. This indicated that Jesus was interested in the whole man. He was not only interested in the physical man, but he was also interested in the spiritual man. Not only was he interested in man spiritually, but when you look at it and turn it around, if that man was sick, he was also concerned about him physically. So he was interested in the whole man. Thus he healed or made men whole. He restored them to spiritual and physical soundness. In the house, when you look in Matthew's account, we find that Matthew records that Jesus had left the coast of the Gadareans at their request, and he entered a ship, came to his own city. Now, while Luke does not identify the town in which the healing was done, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse number 1, it identifies his own city. It has his own city. which also gives this account. Round about verse 1, gives the name Capernaum. Now, in the house where Jesus was, notice there was a great crowd that gathered in this house. And the Bible lets us know that they had gathered there. Who all gathered? The doctors had gathered. The lawyers had gathered. The Pharisees were there. And not only were they there, but they were sitting at his feet to learn from him. What a blessing it is for those to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be able to hear him as he speaks. And even today, it's good to be able to have crowds like this to sit and to hear the Word of God. Not to be so anxious, so uptight that we don't have time for the Word, but to come and to listen to God's Word. Oh, yeah, but there were some, Brother King, that were sitting at his feet. Some were not there to hear the Word. But some were like some coming to worship today. They're like spectators. Hello? They're there as critics. They're there as spies to pick up something on which to accuse the Lord. They had evidently heard the reports of Jesus, how that he had taught and how that he had done various things. And many had come to witness them for themselves. And the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick, according to Luke 5 and verse 17. In this text, though, I want us to notice four things, and the lesson will be yours. To help you to understand it, look at it from the standpoint of the four H's. I want us to look at the helpless tonight. We're going to see an individual that was helpless. We're going to see us, hopefully, in that same sense. We also want to look at the helper and see there are some helpers that the Lord needs. This meeting is a meeting of revival, and we got to get everybody involved in doing something. If we can get everybody involved in doing something, the work of the church will be able, I guarantee you, to spring and to grow in leaps and bounds. But you got to get everybody working. Amen. But not only are we going to look at the helpers, but I want us to look at the healer. And then after we look at the healer, we're going to look at the hinderers. Because there's always hindrance in the work of the Lord. We're going to look at those 4 points. And after we look at those 4 points, friend, you'll be able to go home. But amen. But just stay with me. And if you go to sleep, I might start all over. Amen. You don't want me to do that this evening. Well, let's look at verse 18. The Bible tells us, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." So notice, first of all, friends, when I think about this particular situation, I see an individual that is helpless. Here this man was taken with the palsy, the Bible tells us. Palsy is from the Greek word parakletos, meaning paralyzed or enfeebled by a paralytic stroke, taken from Vine's Expository Dictionary. And see, palsy back then was an incurable disease. And this disease brought eventual death. If you didn't get it taken care of, it was just about like, listen, it was going to cause you to die eventually. And here was a man who had lost the power to move. In other words, he was almost paralyzed to the point that he just couldn't move his body. Therefore, he was obliged when people would come, Brother King, and offer their assistance in order to help him. Yes, he had to be dependent upon other folk to help him. Well, in order for this man to be moved from one place to another, he just couldn't get up and walk himself. He had to wait until somebody came to help him. This man was helpless. Therefore, we find that the man, He was the minister to come to the right person for healing. See, there are many invitations that our Lord, even this evening, offers for us to come. Do you not remember in Isaiah chapter 1, round about verse number 18, I hear Isaiah saying, "Come now and let us do a reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Well, not only do I hear that invitation, but I hear Jesus' famous invitation over there in Matthew, Gospel chapter 11, round about verse number 28, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, what a wonderful invitation. The invitation to come. But then again in Revelation chapter 22, round about verse 17, I hear John the Revelator saying that come because the Spirit and the bride say come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. What are you saying, Brother Whitaker? I'm saying that Jesus offers us many invitations to come to him. Yes, those folk that are in sin, they need to come to Jesus. Tonight, if you are here, haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, the invitation for you, because you are helpless in sin, is to come. Mike can take care of your needs, especially your sin needs. Is that all right? Well, not only do I see a man that is helpless, but I'm also thankful that in this passage, I find some helpers. Notice in verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up into the housetop, let down his couch, through the tiling into the midst before Jesus." Notice, friends, it took men to help. These were helpers. Do you not know that we need, Jesus needs helpers tonight? In Mark's gospel, he says it was four men that bore this man. Well, who were they? We don't know exactly who they were. They could have been his relatives. They could have been his friends. We just don't know. But they likely were the ones there to hear Jesus. Had already been there before. And maybe there was someone that wanted this man to be able to see Jesus. We see in these helpers their faith. We've been talking about faith all day. We've talked about faith of young people this morning. We're talking about faith of members and how we need to be thankful in our attendance to the Lord, because you've got to understand that we can't make it without it. Well, again, I see faith here, because here was some individuals who had faith enough to bring this man to Jesus. Mark states that he was born of four, each holding a corner of the bed on which this sick man lay. Well, you and I'm here to tell you this evening, we are workers for the Lord. We often sing that song, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." See, these men, even though they may not have thought much about handling this man's bed, this man's couch, and taking him down through the tiling of that roof, these men may not have thought much of it, but guess what? Jesus realized their faith, and he acknowledged their faith. And not only did he acknowledge their faith, but he acknowledged the faith of the man that was helpless. Well, they had a faith that would not quit. They could not heal their helpless friend, so they brought him to somebody that could. Friend, we are not in the business of saving people tonight, but what we can do is do what they did yesterday. We can knock doors and we can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We may be nobody in the sight of God, but thank God we know somebody. And His name is Jesus. And He can save anybody from their sins. And that's why we need to do all that we can do to go out into this community, into our cities. We need to go down the highways and the byways and to bring people to Jesus. Even though we may not can save them ourselves, we know somebody who can. Yes, they could not heal their helpless friend, so they brought him to the one who could. They had confidence in Jesus and in the power that was to present to heal them. And so therefore Jesus was able to do just that. They overcame the difficulties, Brother Jeffries, which presented themselves. Mark also states that many gathered together inasmuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. In other words, these men couldn't get in. They couldn't get in the door. But what they had to do, the Bible says that the door was blocked by the crowd. That tells me something even today. There's a lot of folk who are hindering other folk from seeing Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. Amen. There's a lot of folk that's standing at the door that's blocking some folk who need to see Jesus. How are we doing that? Let me drop this. It won't cost you nothing. You know, we got some folk that's hindering folk because of bad attitudes. Am I right about it? We get a chip on our shoulder and we dare anybody to knock it off. And what we're doing, we're standing at the door. And we're blocking the door so folk can't come in to see Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus is a bad attitude specialist, though. He can take care of your attitude if you'll let Him. But you got some folk that's got a bad habit, got some bad habits. Am I right about it? Oh, yeah, they're cussed. In a moment, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't do that up here. I know y'all don't, but you know where I come. You know there's some folks that'll cuss you out. Amen. And amen. But yes, they'll do that. They'll cuss you out rather than look at you. We got folks that will do that. But you know what? What are you doing? You're blocking the door. Some folk are trying to get in, but you're blocking the door, so folk can't get in. See, there was no means of entrance. However, they were not outdone. They were determined to bring this man to Jesus. What we need to do in the church, we need to stop blocking the door. If we got bad attitude, if we got bad habits, amen. All right. We got to realize that these things can't get into the kingdom. I believe over in Galatians 5:19-21. Didn't Paul talk about those things that would keep you from getting into heaven? All right. A lot of these folk have these attitudes, have these bad habits. And guess what he said? He said, and the such likes. Right. You remember that?
Yes.
I better read that. Some of y'all look at me funny. It's in your Bible if you hadn't cut it out. Amen. But let me read that, though. Some of y'all looking at me, but some of y'all don't believe it's in there. Amen. It's in there. Right. Galatians 5. Yes. Let me go to verse number 19. The Bible tells us, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And then he begins to name them. What are the names, Brother Whitaker? They're adultery. Their fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy. Friends, when we are blocking the door with these sins, notice what the Bible says. even envy and murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like.
All right.
I didn't drop that in there. Because somebody said very quick, Brother Whittaker, you didn't hit none of my sins. Well, Paul hit them right there when he said, and the such like. Amen. If he didn't get you with these others, he got you with the such like. And what did he say with the such like? He said, and they that do such things cannot enter into the kingdom of God and cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why he tells you to get on that fruit tree. Get on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. Friends, the point I'm trying to get you to understand on this evening is that when we are blocking the door so that others can't come in, we are guilty. You remember that rich young, prodigal son, brother? He sinned and he didn't even leave home. The prodigal sinned. Yes, he did. He left home. He wasted his inheritance. But the brother that was at home, he cared about more devil men than the one that really left. At least the one that left had a better attitude when he came to himself. Here, this older brother started talking about all of the things he didn't have. He didn't get, Brother Jeffries. Amen. Talking about all of that. Well, the door had been blocked by the crowd. There are many people, even tonight, who are blocking the door. But here was a group of men who did not allow the blocked door to cause them to quit their effort. Here's a display of faith, exceedingly worthy of imitation. True faith in Jesus includes compassion. It includes not only compassion, but it includes some patience. These men had to have patience. I tell you what, it's difficult a lot of times to have to carry people from place to place. It's difficult in your automobile, but here was some people that was carrying this man, and he was on like a couch or a bed trying to get him to see Jesus. And you know that had to be kind of tough. As I said a few moments ago, we cannot save sinners. But it's often in our power to bring folks to Jesus. Here were some men who could not do what Jesus could do, but yet they went through. They went up on the housetop. They broke through the tiling. And I've been told, Brother King, that many houses of Jesus' day had an outside stairway. They climbed up to the second floor. The roof was easily reached from the stairway. The roof was flat and made of tile-like rocks, matted together with straw and clay-like substances. And these things were put together. The roofs were sturdy enough for people to even sit on and carry on conversation. So you know they had to dig through that. They had to break that up so they could get to it. And so they dug and they scooped an opening through the roof, and they were sure that Jesus' power to help was going to be there. But they didn't mind doing that. That's why you and I, as he needs workers tonight, we know the power that he has to save souls. What we've got to do is get out there and shake the bushes. We need to encourage those that are not members to study God's Word. Why? Because we're sure of Jesus' power to help us. And nothing was going to prevent these men, and that nothing should prevent you and I from getting to Jesus. What an unstoppable and unstoppable faith. Those four men were rewarded for the fact that they did not allow hindrances to deter them. You and I, we can be rewarded one day if we continue to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, we continue to preach the word. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Brother Whitaker? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. He wasn't afraid to preach it to the Jew as well as the Gentiles. You and I must not be ashamed either. Oh yes, we must ignore the hindrances. We must be determined to teach others. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, round about verse number 16, the Apostle Paul was talking here, and he said, for though I preach the gospel, he said, I don't have anything, Corinthians, to glory of, to boast about. He said, for necessity is laid upon me. In other words, it's necessary that I preach it. And then he goes on to say, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, yes. 1 Timothy, the chapter is 4, round about verse number 16. Paul instructs the young man, Timothy, again. He says, take heed unto yourself, Timothy. And then he said, unto the doctrine. And he said, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Oh, yes. But continue what? In the doctrine. We've got a responsibility. And because when the message of the cross is carried to the sinner man or sinner woman, that sinner man or woman must accept it by faith and obedience, or else it will not heal him of those sins. All these men were helpers, and they carried that message. They carried this pain to the healer, which brings me to my third point. The healer. Look at verse 20 very quickly. As time is getting away. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Friends, we have two recorded occasions where Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven. Here in verse 20, and also in Luke chapter 7 and verse 48. What a welcome relief. What a burden lifted to those needing forgiveness. There is a cemetery not far from New York City. Brother Jeffries. And there's a grave there which has inscribed on its headstone just one word, and it's forgiven. Nothing else. There's no name. There's no date of birth nor date of death. There's no epitaph. There's no eulogy. Just one word, forgiven. That's the greatest thing that can be said of any man or written upon any monument. Forgiven. I like that. Many are the helpless people in the world, but there's only one great physician. And that physician is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is both healer and both soul, of soul and body. He is concerned with the wholeness of mankind. Jesus healed the sick man of the palsy, verses 24 and 25. Notice what he says. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed. or take up thy couch in this text and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. What a marvelous occasion. That must have been, Brother King. One who was not able to walk, but now he gets up and he is able to move. Isn't this what Jesus' miracles were all about? To prove that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. So that men might glorify God. In fact, they were all amazed, the Bible says. And in verse 26, they did glorify God. But I want us to notice one more group of people. They were the hinderers. Kind of mentioned them a moment ago, but I want you to look at verses 21 and 22 again, because the Bible says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easy to say thy sin be forgiven, or say rise up and walk. See, the scribes and Pharisees here, they accused Jesus of speaking in blasphemies. They said no one could forgive sins but God. Their reason was in the form of a syllogism. Only God can forgive sin. This man is not God. Therefore, he is blaspheming. In the form of, saying that one is forgiven and that he forgives sins. See, their second premise was wrong. Their conclusion was wrong because, see, Jesus is indeed God. He's God the Son. So they were still wrong in that area. When Jesus healed the man, that should have convinced them that he was God. Their reason was evil. If only God can do either, he who can do the one must be able to do the other. And Jesus was able to do both. We see two groups of people here, though. Two hinderers. There's a passive group, and then there is the active group. Now, which group are you in? Let me explain who they are, and then I'm going to close. The passive group, they sit at the door, blocking the way. They probably meant no harm. You've seen people in the way, and they don't really mean to be in the way. They just sit in the way. You ever see anybody like that? Folk in the way, and they don't mean it, And there are some folk that's blocking the door. They don't even know they're blocking it. But then on the other hand, you got an active group of hinderers. They were cold, critical individuals, sitting in the seat of the scornful, looking for mistakes. They were looking for something to criticize Jesus with. And when he healed this man, they just knew that he was a blasphemer. But this great physician, he went on and did his work unabated. In other words, he didn't let those critics stop him. What I'm trying to get us to understand even tonight is we don't need to let the critics stop us. We need to continue to be hard fighting soldiers on the battlefield for Jesus. We need to realize that there is much work to do, and all of us can do something. We may not all be able to do what some preachers do, or some song leaders do, or what some elders do, or some deacons do, but we need to do what we can with what we have. When we read in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul describes the church as a body, and how that the body is one, but it has many members, and all the members, they're not, even though they are the body, They all have different functions.
Right.
Oh, I'm so thankful that my whole body's not an eye. I'm so thankful that my whole body's not an ear, that my whole body's not a leg or an arm. Because there will be some things I would be missing out. All of us have something to do. Just like these men that carried this man to see Jesus, they don't know how blessed this man was. I'm quite sure. But Jesus knew. Jesus acknowledged their faith. And in this great physician we see the helpless. Sinner man or sinner woman, you in that condition tonight. You're helpless. Without Jesus Christ, you're helpless. But you know what? Thank God there are some helpers that's here. You have brothers and sisters of like precious faith. You have caring members. You have ministers. You have deacons. You have elders. You have Bible class teachers. You have youth workers. These are people that love you. So if you're in the helpless class, there are some helpers. And I guarantee you, if you continue to stay in the book, if you continue to be faithful to the Lord, then they will bring you to the healer. They can bring you to Jesus. If you're not a Christian, they can certainly do that. If you need strength, they can certainly give you that strength that you need. And even though there may be hinderers out there that's telling you that you can't make it, I can read, Brother King, in Hebrews 11, and I can read about those men of faith. And those women of faith who said, yes, you can make it. Don't give up. Oh, I'm so thankful that even though there might be hinderers that's telling us that we can't do it, I'm so thankful there are people on the other side that say, you can do it. You can do it. You know, I heard about two frogs one time. They were in a pail and they were in this deep pit and they were trying to jump out. One old frog looked deaf, couldn't hear, just kept jumping. Other old frog, he could hear, and the others were telling him, you can't do it. You know, it's no hope for you. Just give up. So that's what he did. But this other frog, he just kept on jumping. And finally, he must have hit something very special because he jumped and he bounced out. And finally they got up to him and said, man, we told you you couldn't do it. Says, why did you keep on jumping? He let them know that he was deaf. And he thought they were saying, come on. And so he just kept on. Well, that's the way we need to be sometimes. We need to realize that, hey, folks who may be trying to hinder us, they may be helping us. And I trust tonight that you do not let anybody stand in your way from obeying Jesus. If you want to see Jesus tonight, don't let nobody stand in your way. Because you've got helpers. You got the healer. And even though there may be hinderers, if you are faithful to the end, I hear my Bible saying, heaven can be your home. Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Tonight, you've been a good audience. But I'll talk to you about Jesus, the great physician, and how that he needs workers to get those that are sick to him. Are you willing to go to him tonight? Come to him. Leave all those pains and those worries behind you
and say, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to let mama, daddy, brother, sister, husband or wife deter me from obeying Jesus. Some of the statements that were made this morning is that I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better mother, a better parent. I want to be a better servant. I want to be more faithful. And friend, you've got them here. Your brothers and sisters, look around you. When you feel down, you can call on them. I guarantee you they'll be there. Jesus needs workers tonight. He says, go into my vineyard and work, and whatsoever's right, he said, I'll pay you. You'll get paid one day. Let's go out and let's sow the seed. Let's see the need. And as we see the need and we sow that seed, we can reap the benefits. Because let me tell you something, one soul is more profitable than 99 just persons that need no repentance. Read Luke 15. I'm going to do a Marshall Keeble here. Just read the whole chapter. You'll run into it. Amen. I know it's in the first few verses, but just read the whole chapter. You'll run into it. But if you read those verses, you're going to find where there was a man that had 100 sheep. He lost one, and he didn't leave those. He went and left that 99 and went and found that one. Oh, he was so happy when he found it, because here he called his neighbors and friends together and said, come, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. What a blessing. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about evangelism and how that we need to keep the fires going, because, see, the fires are getting dim. Souls are being lost. Folks are dying every day without Jesus. And we've got to light the fire. Light the fire. But you can be a help tonight. If you decide tonight, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'm going to do all that I can to be a part of the team. I want to be on the Lord's side. Will you do that tonight? If you're not a Christian, you've heard that message. Will you believe that message? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Will you be willing to repent of all your sins? Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confessing with your mouth that Christ Jesus is God's Son. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Being willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins according to Acts 2 and verse number 38. Mark 16, 16. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, 21, that the like figure unto baptism doth also now save us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience and faith toward God. Tonight you have that opportunity to be baptized in water. As I asked Brother Jeffers this morning, is the water ready? He said, yes, sir. The garments are ready. The angels in heaven are waiting to rejoice. And we as members are waiting to respond. Waiting to await your response to help you. You might be a child of God, but somewhere down the road of life, you may have been a hinderer to somebody. You may have been hindering yourself. You may have been putting off and procrastinating and delaying your obedience to the gospel. I pray to God that you will not do that. Because we don't know where death is. We don't know how long we're going to live. Yesterday I was privileged to be a part of the 107th birthday of Sister Laura Keeble down at the Lakeshore retirement home there in Nashville off of Wedgwood. 107 years old. What a blessing it is. I told him it'll be a blessing for me just to see 47. Amen. Here she's 107. But friends, we're not promised 107 years. We're not even promised a tomorrow. And oh, how sad, friends, to face the judgment unprepared to meet God.